Okay, we are learning Masechtos Brachos. We are on Daf Lamed Beis Amud Aleph. We're about 8 lines from where the lines get wide. The second word on the line is Viata. There's 2 dots. So we were learning last week about the Chet of the Egel HaZahav and how on some level...
The wide lines.
Yeah, the wide lines. Lamed Beis Amud Aleph. That on some level, although of course the Bnei Israel were the ones that committed the Avera, part of the tefillah of Moshe was that because they had so much wealth, they had so much gold, they didn't know what to do with it, they ended up sinning because of it. And if they didn't have all the affluence and resources, then they probably would never have done it. And
the money came from the Mitzvah, right? When they asked for...
Right, right. So, and Hashem was the one that instructed us to take it.
Exactly.
Now, obviously, that's still a little bit of a poor excuse, but nonetheless, Hashem was willing to accept that.
So, a lot of Jews' money, they don't have to handle it so much.
Right. So they also have an excuse. Yeah, it's better to act properly with it. The atah hanichali v'yichar api b'hem. Right, so Hashem says, now leave me alone, v'yichor api b'hem, and let my anger and wrath pour upon them, v'cholim, and I'll destroy them, v'esos l'chol goy gadol. Don't worry about you, Moshe, you're a good guy. I'm going to let you continue on, and I'm going to have a whole new nation. Forget about this nation of Klai Yisrael. So Rabbi Avo said, Omoli mikra kosev, if the Pasuk would not have said such a thing, we wouldn't be able to have the audacity to make it up. It's as though Hashem had his garment grabbed by Moshe, just as a person who is grabbing hold onto the guy's jacket or his shirt. And Moshe said, I am not going to let go, if you will, until finally you will forgive them. Only once you achieve slicha, that's when it's going to happen. And we said before that the reason why is because he felt that it was really his responsibility. It was all the Gemara we saw before is that Hashem said, "Harich mi meni, leave me alone, v'ash mi deim, and then I'll destroy them." So once he said that, it was self understood to Moshe. That it was Moshe's responsibility to stick up for Klai Yisrael. Moshe would do nothing, Hashem Tak would have destroyed them. And therefore, once he hears this again, that I'm going to destroy them, I'll make you a big nation, Moshe said, absolutely not. I'm going to embrace the nation I currently have, and I'm going to be mispal for them, and we should have a slicha for that. So the Pasuk then continues over there, and says, I'm going to make you a great nation. So what does that mean, I'm going to make you a great nation? Which is the second half of that Pasuk. So Amar Elazar, Amar Moshe lefnei Kodesh Baruch Hu. So Moshe said the following: Ribono Shel Olam, Ma Kisei Shel Shleisha Raglayim. If you have a chair which has 3 feet attached to it, Einu Yochol Lamid Lefanecha L'Shas Kascha. It's not able to withstand your anger. It's going to shatter and break. So Kisei Shel Regel Echad. If you have a chair which has only one leg, Alachas kama kama, that chair is certainly going to snap. So basically, the analogy is, we can imagine,
the avos.
They said, they already have schus avos, and yet you want to destroy them, so what, you want me to start a new nation? And what am I? I'm just one person. So for that alone, I'm not interested in starting a new nation, because then the burden will be even greater upon me, and probably will destroy them too. So, therefore, instead, I'd rather stick with the nation that I have. And the Marsha further explains that the reality is it's not just 3 chairs, because Moshe, with Moshe, there'll also be Schus Avos as well, right? So, even though on some level the whole nation would be destroyed, so the Marsha says, but still Moshe would have the Schus Avos, so really maybe it's 4 chairs, a four-legged chair. But the reality is the Schus Avos is because of Klai Yisrael, not for one person. And therefore, he perhaps would have lost the Schus Avos had the entire nation been wiped out. Lo, not only that, Elishesh be boishes ponim miavoisai. I'd be humiliated thinking about what I did to everything that Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov built up to create this nation. Achshav Yoimer, what are they going to say now? Re'u Parnes, look at this leader. Shehem and Alehem, that we placed upon as a leader for Klal Yisrael. Bikish Gedul Atzmo, all he cares about is himself. Bikish Alehem Rachmim, he never was mispalel for Rachmim, for compassion. And therefore, because of that, he said that it would be a complete humiliation because he was not living up to his responsibilities of being the next leader, which also just has to do with leadership in general. It's not about you, it's being able to continue that Mesorah, that tradition of what the other leaders had. And therefore, whatever the leaders did, whatever they built on, it's really important for you to continue in that path. Okay. Then we move on to a sentence which we're familiar with because it's recited on a tinus. We say, Vayechal Moshe es Pnei Hashem. So, what does Vayechal mean? It says, Vayechal Moshe toward Hashem. So it sounds some type of a tefillah, probably. So the Gemara is going to give a whole bunch of answers exactly why we use this Madna Lashon, that perhaps would be more logical that you should use a language we're more familiar with than Vayechal. So the Gemara says like this, Omar Rabbi Elazar, Malamin Shaman Moshe b'tefillah, that he stood, Moshe stood in tefillah. Vayechal is a language as it's brought down in Rashi, it's in Laz, Hitzirbo, Unir, which means he made himself he, with much pressure and persistence for HaKadosh Baruch Hu to accept the forgiveness. So that's Vayechal. Not just a typical tefillah, but a pressure, a tremendous persistence. Rabbi Omer, Rabbi says a different interpretation. What does it mean, Vayechal? Ad Shehefer Lo Nidro. Until the neder, which Hashem made of destroying Klal Yisrael, should be annulled. So Vayechal, we're going to see, has to do with annulling a vow. Ksiv Hacha Vayechal. Ksiv Hasam Lo Yichol Devaro. The Pasuk says, when it comes to your nedarim, they're not allowed to break any of the words or any of the vows that you said. So we see, Vayechal is a language of please break your vow. That's what Moshe is asking Hashem. V'yomar mar, hu enum michal, avacher moichano. As we saw actually in Gemara in Chagiga, if you recall, we said that Hataras Nedarim is parchim ba'avir, it's not so clear, but nonetheless, this is one of the drushas, which I believe was Shmuel that said. He said that only you cannot remove the nether from yourself. But others, if you go to a Beis Din, they can also find a Pesach to remove it. They're Moichlin. They're Moichlin. So therefore, Vayechal means that Hashem is Moshe Saint Hashem, remove the Shvuah, the nether that you placed upon yourself, and let me assist you in having it removed. Because you can't have it removed, but I can do it on your behalf. So I'll be like the a quasi Beis Din to be able to make that happen. Shmuel Oimer Malamid Shemasar Atzmo Mis Alehem. That what Shmuel says is that the word Vayechal is more than just davening, but that he actually was willing to give up his very life for the sake of Klal Yisrael's forgiveness. Shnemar. V'im oyin macheni no misifrecha. Says, if not, if you don't listen to me, this is a famous pasuk, macheni no misifrecha, that I should be erased from your sefer. And as numerous drushas, this is in Parshas Ki Sisa, and we find that all the way from Parshas Shmos, all the way until Vezos HaBracha, every single time we find Moshe's name is mentioned, except in Parshas Tetzaveh, right, which is, of course, right nearby. And some people say that that's the, even though, of course, Klal Yisrael were forgiven, but since he did mention Macheni Nama Sifracha, so his name had to be erased. But he was basically not just talking about his name being erased, but basically saying that his entire life should know, which should cease to exist.
Didn't say that you don't know, right?
No.
So the question is, when we look by Abraham, when he beseeched Hashem to save stone, even if at the end he got down to 10 Jews, 10 righteous people, he would just say stone. Stone was much worse than in Chayr Egel, wasn't it? Yet, you know, Hashem was forgiving to them, and this, you know.
And that they weren't Jewish. They don't have as high standard.
But I'm saying, but he was willing to save them. They weren't even Jewish, and here, Klal Yisrael, when everybody wasn't sinning.
So what do you think the answer is?
The thing was, he wouldn't destroy the city, he wouldn't wipe out everything the way he did, but kill the ones who were sinning, which is what he did over here also.
Yeah, that's right. So I'm saying to you, but why, you know, why did Moshe have to be so by Chal and everything like that? Here, Avram just talked him into it. He said, okay, started from 50, worked his way down to 10. Right. Okay, we got a deal. We can find 10 guys. But he couldn't find 10 guys.
Right.
But here was a case that everybody in Klal Yisrael, yes, like you say, the Moshe then came down and they destroyed, it was 24,000 people. If I'm not mistaken, I don't know, my brain doesn't work so good anymore. But the rest of Klal Yisrael was okay. So
right.
Why, for the sake of all these people, was everybody going to be destroyed?
I think the answer you have to say is the rest of Klal Yisrael was not okay. Even though there was a certain amount of people that didn't avera and a lot of people didn't, the question is, what did they do to prevent it from happening? So maybe there's also some level of accountability for everyone to allow it.
Aaron is, you know...
Aaron also allowed it to happen. He was one of the leaders. So, I mean, that's a possible approach. It's a good question, though. Why he didn't at least take that avenue? Why did he say...
Why do you want to kill them all? Just get rid of the bad guys, you know?
Right.
He didn't want to kill them all. He just wanted to...
Because, and the proof of that is if you look during Machas Choshech, Hashem destroyed 80% of Yiddishkeit. So he got rid of those bad guys. So, I mean, he could have, you know, why... We had a precedent of rooting out the evil and leaving the rest alive.
He was teaching Moshe a thing. He's teaching him that if there's a problem, if you pray, you can be forgiven.
So, the question still remains, how do we see from the word Vayechal that this has to do with all the things that we said, that he wanted to give up his very life?
Right.
So if you look in Rashi, Rashi says, Shemoser Atzmo Misa, Vayechal is Lashon Chol. And we find, for example, by the Egel Arufa, it says that when you find a person who was murdered, right, on a homicide in between two cities, right, the language of it is a Chalal. Is a language of a body, of the remains of the deceased. So therefore, Vayechal Moshe was willing to make himself like a chol, that he would be willing to give up his very life for the sake of Klal Yisrael. Okay. Omer Rava, Omer Rav Yitzchak. Melamed shehuchla lehem midas rachmim. So shehuchla vayechal means to take effect. It should be chal. There should be a chalos that should take upon Klal Yisrael a midas of rachmim. Now, instead of Hashem looking through midas hadin, instead of midas of rachmim, and spare them for no other reason, just have mercy upon them. Rabbanan Amar Malam and Shemar Moshe Lefnei Hakadosh Baruch Hu Rabbanan Shoylem Chulin Hulucha Miasos Kedavar Hazeh. This is chulin of you to do such a thing. Chulin, which is also interesting enough, as you mentioned before, by Sodom and Gomorrah, it mentions that same lashon. Chulin, that means chalil lacha. It should be, it's a sacrilege, it's a terrible thing for you to do such a thing. So, Vayechal Moshe is Moshe telling Hashem that you doing this is going to have such negative ramifications, not just for the nation of Klal Yisrael, of course,
world,
the entire world, because they're going to see that God is just destructive, and no one's going to want to embrace religion or God anymore. So it would be chulin hulucha ma'asos gavazeh, even though maybe they deserve it, Taka. But the reality is, it's not going to be in the best interest of the world, mankind. V'yachal Moshe es b'nei Hashem. Tanya Rabbi Elazar gadol oimer, Malamish Amin Moshe betfil if Nekodesh Baruch Hu ad ashechsosu achiloi. It says Vayechal. I think this is the last drasha of what the word Vayechal means. So next fast we'll actually think about it maybe a little bit more. That it said that when Moshe was davening in front of Hashem, he davened until he was overtaken. It was grabbed hold. Ashechsosu achilo, like he was a choila, sickness. My achilo, what exactly is this illness? So Amar Rabbi Elazar, Eish Shalat Sanois. Translated literally, the fire in the bones. what is it, arthritis? Maye shalat samos, what is that referring to? So Omar Abaye Ashtigarmi, which is some type of a fever that he had. So he was davening with so much kavana that, again, he was being Moiser Nefesh. Moiser Nefesh saying, take my life. Moiser Nefesh even being ill, but realizing that having a fever would not be his best interest to take a couple aspirin and go to sleep. And then he'll wake up and there'll be no more Klai Yisrael. He didn't care. He davened, even though it made him ill. Such was Moshe's Mesiras Nefesh. And then it continues, and again, we should be thinking about the Torah reading over here on a fast day, and the trup. Zachor l'Avraham l'Yitzchak l'Yisrael l'Avdecha. That you should remember our Avos, right? Which, again, makes sense. Hashem said, destroy them, I'll make you a new nation. And this is how we see that Moshe said, no. Don't make a new nation for myself. Remember the Avos, Chos Avos. Asher nishbat lahem, that you swore to them, Bach, by your own self. Right. So, my Bach, what does it mean, by your very own self? So, Omer Rebbe Lazar, Omer Moshe lefnei Kodesh Baruch Hu Bona Shalom. So, this is what Moshe said. Yomoli nishbat lahem b'shmayim b'aretz, if it would have been that this promise that you made about the continuity of Klal Yisrael was just to these inanimate objects, the heavens and the earth, right? Hayisa Oimer, Kashem Shishmayim Ba'aretz Batalim, the heavens and the earth, as much as we don't want to believe it, this is a temporary world, everything in this physical world does not last, so the heavens and the earth will not last. Kach Shavuascha Batalim, Shemayim, I guess we should translate this like the sky, the earth. But kach shvuos kavatel, so too your shvu could be batal. So even though you made a shvu saying I'll take care of Klal Yisrael forever, I promise that I'll do well for Klal Yisrael, but if you swore to the heavens and the earth, which we do see in Parshas Hazinu, right? Hazinu Hashemayim Badaber of Arts, Dishmah Arts free, but nonetheless, that was not the only place where shvu was made. Yasham shnishbat lehem b'shimcha gadol. In your great name, you Hashem swore to the Avos. So Mashim Chagadol. So even though our Avos, you can say, aren't alive, but that's not where the focus is. You said it in your great name, Mashim Chagadol. Chai v'kayom l'olamim, that your name will last forever and in all eternity. So Kach Shavuasa Chiyamus l'olamim. So too your Shvua has to last forever. So you don't have the right to be able to break that shvuah that you made.
That was the question. Made the shvuah with Avraham. The first time, I'm sorry.
Right. Right.
The first was saying that when Klal Yisrael entered Eretz Israel, Hashem went to the Avos and said, "I kept my promise."
So we see the importance of Hashem's keeping His words, and because of that, being forced, so to speak, not to be able to react as he initially wanted to. But the Dabar Lehem Arba Ezarachem Kechokhem Hashemayim Bechol Aretz Azos Hashem Arti. So, this is also part of the reading, which talks about, again, the Igla Zahav. And you should say to them, Arba Ezarachem, that you have increased their children, Kechokhem Hashemayim, like the sky, the stars in the sky, Bechol Aretz Azos Hashem Arti, and all of the land, which I said. So, Haya Asher Marti, that I said, Asher Martame Boile, that you said, it sounds like Moshe speaking. He says, and all of this land which I said, what do you mean? This is talking about what Hashem did. Hashem made this promise that he would increase the seed of Israel and everything. So, why does it say the language of Asher Marti, that I said it? It was Asher Marta, you, Hashem, is the one that said it. So, which one is it? So Omer Rabbi Elazar, so you can imagine two answers. Rabbi Elazar says, Ad kan divri Talmud, mikan v'yelich divri harav, that when it came to the first statement, all the things up until then, was divri ha-Talmud, was Moshe speaking, and now this pasuk is divri harav, that means the teacher, namely Hashem. So the pasuk that we just said is Hashem speaking. It's not Moshe reminding Hashem of his promise. But Hashem says that I will increase them like the stars in the sky, and all of the land in which I said, and this is Hashem speaking. For Rabbi Shmuel bar Nachmani Omer, Eil v'Eil Divrei Talmud. Now this pasuk is also referring to the student, namely Moshe. Elokach Omer Moshe of Nekodesh Baruch Hu. This is the proper way to read this dialogue. Rabbeinu Sheolim, Devarim Shemarto Li, the things that you have said to me to say, Lech Omer Lehem, to go to them, Israel, to the Jewish people, Bishmi, in my name, Halachti, I went, Vamarti Lehem, Bishmecha, I said it in your name, Achsham Aniyar Lehem, now what am I supposed to say to them? And therefore, the second way of reading this pasuk is like this, that this is Moshe saying, B'chol Aretz Hazos Asher Marti, all of this land in which I said, well, it was Moshe that said it over to Klai Yisrael, okay, and therefore that's what it means. That's the end of the Egel HaZahav. We're just going to see a couple more lines, which talks about another episode which was tragic for Klal Yisrael in the Midbar, namely the Chet of the Meraglim. And Moshe said another plea, Mebilti Yochelos Hashem, because God is not able to accomplish something. God has limitations, Chas HaShalom. Yochel Hashem Miboyle. What do you mean, Yochel Hashem? Yechalta is a lashon akeba, right? It's language which is feminine. It should say yachol, which is zachar. When we're referring to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in this context, it should be lashon zachar. So meboilei. So Omer Rebbe Lazar, and these are types of gemaras where it's good. It's not a mixed crowd. Omer Moshe lefnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu Rebbeinu Shalom. Achshav yamar mosa oylam toshish koychel kinekeva. People are going to say, "Oh, that God, he's like a weakling. He's like a little girl." The Eina Yochel LaHatzil, and he's not able to save them. Armor Kodesh Baruch Hu Moshe. So Moshe said to Moshe, "What are you talking about? How could anyone think that the reason why I cannot bring them into the land of Eretz Canaan is because I don't have strength? Who would come up with that? Think about the history of what I've done. Vo kvaro nisim gvuros. Didn't they see all the wonders and the miracles? Shasisu lehem al hayom. I did all these amazing things in the sea by the Yamsuf." Yeah, it's interesting. It only mentions the Yamsuf. It doesn't mention the in the Mitzrayim. So some say that when it came to the Yamsuf, what do you mean? Not everyone was there. So they say miraculously, because he changed Teva and the sea split, it caused water in other places to split. You ever heard that Midrash?
Yeah, that.
So that's the somehow
even
some people explain.
Even had a bowl of water to split.
Right. Right. Having your cereal, your Wheaties, right? So it said that perhaps that's the line, what this means, because not everyone saw what happened in Mitzrayim, but they saw what happened al hayom, even though they weren't at the yom, but they knew what happened because it happened to them. Armu lafanu rabbanu shalom, adayin yesh lehem oimer lemelech echad yachol amoid, v'shloishim echad melachim eni yachol amoid. Now, of course, very hard to understand what this sentence means, so we can just translate it. Moshe said to Hashem, "You know what? Yeah, you were able to accomplish
Paro.
It's one guy.
31 kings in Eretz Yisrael, you can't handle it."
Yeah, that's too much. That's too much, right? It's God, you know, like, he can do whatever he wants. But that was that's how we understand it. We know that's the truth. But people that don't want to believe the obvious and want to rationalize their behavior and be delusional, they'll say, "Yeah, we're stronger than God," right? And they could use that as an excuse, even though it makes really no sense. But that's the answer, I think, that no, he can't beat us. Amar Rav Yochanan, and not only will it be, it would, and therefore, by you wiping out Klal Yisrael here, you're basically saying, "You know what? Well, I didn't know what I got myself into over here, and I don't want to look bad." And okay, Amar Rav Yochanan, Menayin Shechazer Kadosh Baruch Hu B'Hoydul Moshe. How do we find that Hashem, actually forgave Klal Yisrael and admitted to what Moshe said? Shnemar B'Yerma Hashem Salachti Kidvarecha. Hashem said, "I forgive them Kidvarecha because of the words that you said." Tanin be Rabbi Yishmuel, Kidvarecha asidim umos ha'oil loymer kain. Like your words, the nations of the world would say this. And therefore, Ashrei Talmud Shrabba Moedelo. Praiseworthy is the student that the teacher admits to them. That sometimes the teachers are always right. Customers are always right, and the teachers are always right. Especially, even if they're wrong, right? They're still right. They're always right. Right? But when you can find a teacher that says, you know what, I made a mistake, that shows a tremendous maila in that person, to acknowledge their that they're frail, that there's weaknesses. And obviously, although Hashem is perfect, but He's teaching us the message that even as leaders, as teachers, as parents, sometimes we have to admit that we don't have all the answers. And sometimes the younger generation or your students, they may actually have a thought that you never came up with. Bum chayani. Omer Rava, Omer Rav Yitzchak, Mulamid Shemel Kodesh Baruch Hu Moshe, Moshe hechisani bedvarecha. Why does he say chayani? He says that you, Moshe, have now given me life. And therefore, for that reason, I'm very thankful and appreciative of everything you did. Let's just finish this Amud. Darshav Simoy, Olam Yisad Adam Shvachu Shel Kodesh Baruch Hu V'Yachin Kispalel. Always a good advice that if you want to ask for something, you don't just go out and ask, you know, because you're like, who are you? But first you say, you know what, I like your tie, I think you're wearing a beautiful suit, you're a good-looking guy, can I borrow $10? It's the same thing when it comes to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, right? Even though Hashem knows all our tricks. It says the first, you're supposed to praise Hashem, Gadol, your Gibor, Manoira, then your Yispalo. Minolan, how do we see that this is the proper approach? And this is how, what we do in our Shemoneh Esrei. The first three paragraphs are being sadir, the Shevach of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We learn in Moshe, Dechsev, Veschanan al Hashem Beis Ahi, that he davened, hoping to get into Eretz Yisrael. Dechsev, Hashem Elokim, Ata hachiloi saliros es avdecha, es gadecha, es yadecha, hachazaka, Hashem yi, keel mashmaim v'oretz, asher yasek ha-masech v'kivorosecha. So that lengthy pasuk, as you can probably have picked out, it talks about how Moshe acknowledges how great Hashem is, His strong hand, who there's no one in the heavens and the earth which could possibly compare to His actions and to His power and strength. And therefore He said, you know what, since you can do all these things for so many people, so let me do this one little task for me, and just let me go and cross the to the other side of the water. The truth is, it may not have worked, but we'll see next week that it did have some effect, because at least he was able to ascend. He was able to go and see the land. He went on Rosh Pisgah. So his tefillos did have some kiyum, but he wasn't able to mispal too much more. Hashem would have had to be cobbled his tefillah if he continued. Okay, have a good day.